Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you yesterday? Yesterday was Wow Wednesday. And, wow it was. We got our start with Vivian and the socially conscious segment. Well, the COVID numbers are now all down. Yes, 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 finally. Even our top two, California and Texas, are down thousands. Yes, so maybe we'll be able to get back to some level of normalcy when we're talking about this mask wearing and the, you know, the other mandates, you know, that we can or cannot do. Yeah, so maybe there'll be some turnaround. Okay, all right. Well, Vivian also brought us the story of the Ahmaud Arbery update. Well, you know, the grand jury says guilty, guilty, guilty on those hate crimes. Yes, the McMichaels and their neighbor. Nah, they don't stand a chance. They don't stand a chance. They've all got, you know, life already. So, we've already heard the best that there was ever going to be when it comes to that case. So maybe the Arbery family could get some level of, you know, justice. That's what I want to say. Okay. Well, the MTA has officially going buck wild as there were 9 assaults in a 48-hour period. And you know what's really sad? Because we've seen several times that the Good Samaritans have lost their lives. Yes, another one pushed on the train, and the Good Samaritan, you know, went into rescue and unfortunately lost his life. Okay, so come on, Eric Adams. What we gonna do? What we gonna do? What are we going to do when it comes to this train situation? Okay? Well, the newspaper, you know, they kind of camped out at this site where there was supposed to be some people posted up, you know, at MTA to ensure that we're safe and things are better. And they said they saw nobody. Yeah, they didn't think nobody was going to be camping out. They should know. These reporters, they will do anything to get their story. So you don't want to be caught, you know, not doing what you say you're going to do. Because somebody's going to catch you. Somebody's going to catch you. Well, that $30 million crack pipe distribution, you know, well, there was a play on words. And after doing some research, Vivian found out that, you know, it's not quite, you know, the way they said it was, you know, it was as far as the distribution. You know, they're still talking about distributing needles and different items to keep, you know, this epidemic down, you know, so it doesn't spread. And we don't quite know what they're going to do or if they're going to do anything for the drug users, the crack drug users. But, you know, hey, at least they're doing something, right? All righty. Well, the ladies were in the house yesterday, the women of worship, and we were blessed because we talked about ways that our prayers are being hindered. Yeah, you know, we're going into this prayer mode and everybody's, you know, going before the Lord big time and asking him for some big time things. But yet, they're not understanding that their lack of love. Yes, you know, the Bible says that, you know, I could do all these things and come out like a clanging cymbal. But if I don't have love, it goes by the wayside. Mm-hmm. So make sure you get that love thing under control. Well, another area that our prayers get hindered, pride. Vanity is not going to get you anywhere, especially with God. Yeah, especially with God. You know, he does not like the prideful ones. Put all that stuff down and go to the Lord humbly as you know how, and you don't have to worry about it. That's right. That's right. A disobedience. Oh, my. That's one that I really kind of put a stamp on. You know, that level of disobedience that you display. And then we're going before the Lord. We can't ask the Lord for anything if we're not willing to do anything for the Lord. And those sinful ways will definitely step in between you and the Lord answering your prayer. Yes. So we got to our faith over fear segment. And we talked about, you know, what, how does that fit in? So many ways that I left Pastor Charlene, you know, to talk about it on her own. I didn't guide her either way, but she did a fantastic job as always. You know, when we talk about this faith over fear issue, when it comes to, you know, your prayer life. If you don't have any belief or if you don't trust God during the time that you're supposed to trust God, then how we expect for our prayers to be answered? So listen, that faith over fear is big time when it comes to your prayer life and actually getting the things that you want from God and the things that you're going before him answered. Right? I thought so. Well, that's how we spent our Wow Wednesday yesterday. And I suggest you go back and listen so you can get some of the details. Because, you know, I only give you the surface. I only scratch the surface of what we talked about. But, ooh, as always, it was fantastic. A fantastic, fantastic conversation to not only be had, but to be heard. Okay. Well, today is Therapeutic Thursday. Yep. And we are discussing our health, whether it's our physical, emotional, mental, our financial health. Yeah, anything that has to do with the health. Anything. And I got that list that we've been working on. Yeah, you know that list of the things you need to take out of your cabinet. Yeah, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that list is still going. We've been working on this list the whole entire week. Yeah, we got stuff like margarine that you need to pull up out of your cabinet because it sure ain't good for you. We got what else? What else did we come up with? Oh, that white bread. That Wonder Bread. I haven't seen Wonder Bread in years. You know, so I guess we're supposed to keep that off the shelf. They've already taken it off the shelf. Oh, what about those Pop-Tarts, y'all? What about those Pop-Tarts? Ooh-wee. Well, Pastor Charlene says that her whole entire cabinet needs to be, you know, revised. Can you imagine? We got to throw away all this good stuff. Well, it's really not good stuff. It's bad stuff. But it's stuff that, you know, we have come to love. And we're going to continue that conversation this morning. So, I'm sorry. Did you pull out those double stuffed Oreos for breakfast? Well, put them back. Throw them in the garbage. Now, okay, got to have a couple of them. Then you throw them in the garbage. Okay? All right. I won't be so hard on you, but remember, it's not my list. So I'm sorry. But we're talking about being healthy and all of the things that we eat that keep us from, you know, progressing with better health. All right? So go get that healthy breakfast. Go tell a friend that it's due time where Pastor Steph is on. And let's see. Make sure you don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
I specifically treat patients with glaucoma. So glaucoma is damage to the nerve in the back of the eye. We used to think that the biggest risk factor was elevated eye pressure, but we found that in about 30% of patients, they actually don't have high eye pressure. It's a silent disease, so it is very important to get yearly eye exams. You usually lose your peripheral vision first, and then it can progress to lose the center of your vision, but people really don't notice that until it's too late. So that's why it's very important that we actually do screening exams to look for glaucoma. So glaucoma tends to run in families. So often if I see, a mother or father with glaucoma, I make sure that their children get eye exams. It also we do see it pretty commonly here in the La Crosse area. It does tend to run in certain Northern European populations more commonly. And it is a more common disease of the elderly. So age is a definite risk factor.
Well, good morning and good morning to you again. Welcome to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Therapeutic Thursday. The day we discuss our health, our emotional health, mental health, physical health, spiritual health, financial health, anything that has anything to do with the health. So get those pens up. I'm about to continue that list we've been working on all week. All right. All righty. So come on now, come on now. Ah, what are we up to? Cheetos! Cheetos. Well, Ketty, I know you mad about this one. Yep. Cheetos. Cheetos, the big old Cheetos, yes. The big puffy soft ones that melt in your mouth, yes. They say they have an incredible amount of additives, artificial flavors, and colorants, and that it's so not good for our bodies. Okay, I mean, come on, I shouldn't even have to break that one down. Should I? Ooh, salad dressing is on the list. Oh my. Yeah, they said that Caesar's salad dressing is a big monster, very unhealthy, and they say just 2 tablespoons of that Caesar's salad dressing is loaded with 12 grams of fat and 300 milligrams of sodium. Oh, my. 2 tablespoons? Mm. Gummy bears. Ooh, gummy bears is on this list, which we could kind of figure out. I know that's got to be bad for your teeth because that stuff gets stuck all in your teeth. Yes. They say gummy bears is nothing but sugar. Nothing but sugar. Okay. They say 1 serving is 6.9 grams of protein, 46 grams of sugar. Yeah. Yeah, big time, big time, big time sugar. Oh, now I know my feelings are hurt. Because, you know, when you thinking you doing something, you think you doing something. Veggie straws and veggie sticks. Wow. Now, you know, we go after that one because we figure we didn't put the chips down. And wow, okay. Well, they say that the veggie straws and veggie sticks per portion, they have 220 milligrams of sodium. Yeah. For every 38 straws. Because, you know, in the back they give you that serving size and you can eat like 38 straws. Well, there's 220 milligrams of sodium. Oh, the granola and cereal bars. Yep, thought you was doing something else. Nope, not at all. They say that munching on just 2 of Nature Valley's oat and honey granola bars ups your fat intake by 7 grams and your sugar intake by 11 grams. Wow. Ready? Store-bought smoothies. I told you I had to stay away from that stuff. Store-bought smoothies. Listen, go home and make your own. They say that the 1 bottle of that Naked Juices Green Machine, yes, 53 grams of sugar. Mm-hmm. So that is sweetness. Oh, this is just breaking my heart for real. Trail mix. Now, that depends on which trail mix you get. And I'm sure it's the one with all the chocolate in it. Yeah, I don't get that one. I get the high energy one, and it has just nuts and some fruit. But for those of you who got to go get the little packet with the yogurt-covered raisins, the granola clusters, the honey-dipped peanuts, dried cranberries, glazed walnuts, and dried apple chips, 19 grams of sugar per serving. Yes. Gatorade. Gatorade. Ooh, Gatorade. Everybody's running after that because, you know, all of the football players drink it and the basketball players drink it. They say in one 12-ounce bottle of Cool Burst Thirst Quencher Gatorade, 160 milligrams of sodium and 21 grams of sugar. So if you're watching all of your sugar and stuff and all that intake, man, you didn't kill that just with one bottle. Yeah. Agave nectar. I've heard of this, but I haven't really tried it. Yeah, it's supposed to be great for your body. Well, they say your liver will start converting all that excess fructose into fat, and this can potentially increase your bad cholesterol levels and risk us having a fatty liver disease and belly fat accumulation. And I got that belly fat accumulation. And it ain't pretty, y'all. Dried fruit. Yeah, didn't I just say I eat it? Man, they say that Ocean Spray's craisins, it's dusted in cane sugar. And it has 29 grams of sugar for every quarter cup serving. Now, a quarter cup, they ain't a lot. They ain't nothing but maybe a little handful. And already you got 29 grams of sugar. All right. So I thought I'd leave you with that today. For our health, our physical health. So what are we talking about today? I got some, I got a couple of good ones. Well, you know, why do people beat up elderly people? I don't understand. It's like, do you not realize that if God spares your life, you're going to be elderly? Well, there's an elderly couple in Chicago, and they say that they were on like a nice little stroll. They weren't bothering anyone, and they were attacked for no reason. Well, the older gentleman says that they were just walking, you know, and he felt this presence near him, and when he looked up, the guy was a little too close. It was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Like I said, just, you know, taking your little stroll. And he didn't steal anything. You know, didn't grab for anything. So, you know, they thought that, you know, he was okay. But then they continued to walk, and they said he got a little closer. And it really did not set right with the 72-year-old gentleman. And he said before he knew it, the guy was mumbling something like, "You got a problem?" And they did not answer. Well, unfortunately, they say that it did not help, not saying anything. He said the man just started swinging. He broke his wife's jaw and wrist. And he himself was hit, he said, like 6 or 7, 8 times in the head. And he went down, and he just started yelling, you know, "Stop, stop, stop. My wife has cancer. Please, please, please don't do this." And, you know, the attacker left. And the cancer was a lie. But at least it helped him get off of the wife, who had to subsequently have 2 surgeries, and she can't open up her mouth, and she can only eat liquids like soup for 8 weeks. Now, you know, we always talk about this mental illness thing, and, you know, we always say that we don't know who's around us and who's really got some mental issue going on. And, you know, it's sad because, again, like he said, you know, the easiest thing I always tell a girl, just don't say anything. But that didn't even work. And which makes me believe that yet again, this is another issue of some mental illness. And how can we get around this? Well, we really can't. That's the sad part. We really can't get around that. So, you know, we just have to keep, you know, we have to keep ourselves in prayer, asking God to just give us traveling mercies, because we just don't know what we're going to experience when we leave our home. Okay. Well, I got some dastardly stuff to talk about today. There's this woman who tries to set her roommate on fire in Louisiana, and it ain't the first time. So they have this woman in Louisiana who was arrested after being accused of pouring rubbing alcohol on her roommate to attempt to set him on fire. So she's 36 years old, and she's facing charges of at least one count of cruelty to persons with infirmities, y'all. Yes. The roommate, 66 years old, and he had been living with this woman for like 2 years. And again, she's attacking, and he doesn't quite know, you know, the ultimate reason why she's done this on more than one occasion. And he said that she just walked by him, poured the alcohol on him and all over his room, and then tried to take a lighter and light him and the room up. But he was running, so she chased him like around the house. He finally got out in the street and got a cell phone from someone and called the law enforcement. And he told them, you know, that she was emptying out an alcohol bottle on him and on the floor. And they say when they got there, that's all they could smell was the rubbing alcohol. And again, he doesn't know why, you know, she attacked him. But it's not the first time she attacked him with trying to set him on fire. Now let's talk about this one, y'all. Why? Same thing we asked about the Uber people yesterday, the Uber riders. Why? If she tried to set you on fire the first time, you gonna go back in the house, share this space with her, and lay your head down on a pillow? You have got to be out your mind. You have got to be out your mind. Because this was less than a year ago. This happened the first time back in July of 21. I'm not letting nobody try to set me on fire. And here's my thought. Okay, let's talk about this for a second. What could you say to me? You intentionally tried to set me on fire. What could you say to me that could make me go back in this house and get comfortable again? Oh, I'm sorry, Steph. You know, I woke up dreaming and thought it was somebody else. I'm sorry, you know, I just had a bad day. What? Ain't no way in the world. Ain't no way in the world. Ain't no way in the world. You gonna talk to me about anything after trying to set me on fire? No. No, I'm sorry. You cannot. And he's, poor thing, he's 66 years old. And, you know, maybe some might say, well, you know, he didn't have a place to live. And you didn't have a place to live. You almost wasn't living. So, no. We're going to have to find another. We're going to have to find another way of getting this done. No, I got to stay with another friend or something. Because this ain't going to work. This is not going to work. So, I don't know, y'all. You know, tell me. Tell me, would y'all go back? I wouldn't. That's all I know. I'd have to, listen, somebody would have to be able to keep me and not go back in that house. And now, again, she's chasing him around the house. Oh, my goodness gracious. I tell you. Well, didn't I tell you I had some dastardly things? So a young lady goes to school in Las Vegas. And she hands teacher a note. Yes. Hands the teacher a note from her mother. And it wasn't a she was out of school because note. Or the dog ate her homework note. All right. So this young girl takes the note to her elementary school teacher. So this just kind of indicates how young she was. And in the note, the mother writes that her boyfriend was holding her hostage. Yes. And she said that she didn't know where her younger child was. And she believed that he was dead. Well, the teacher told the cops and, you know, they dispatched the cops out to the woman's home. And they got there about 10 o'clock in the morning, where they found the mom and her boyfriend. And they were seen leaving the house. And they pulled the car over and they detained the man. And they said that when they went to check out, you know, everything that they had asked the man, because he was kind of messing with him, wasn't really telling the story, but after a while they actually was able to go digging and they found the four-year-old in a freezer in the garage. And they said that this woman was never allowed to enter the freezer in the garage, and that's where they found the little four-year-old. So thank God they're not accusing the mom of any foul play, you know, because she herself was being held at gunpoint. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, this is, I don't even know, they don't even show how long she's been doing this or how long she's been being held. But they say it's somewhere, they're kind of estimating that it might be around 3 months that she's been held. And every day they've been letting this child go out to the doctor. So clearly he wasn't worried about the little girl. So I don't know how she, you know, was able to write this note, but she was able to write this note via SOS. You know, in the note, and thank God the little girl gave the note to the teacher. And now they have, you know, she's, the little girl is with family, and, you know, the mom is she's getting some help to, you know, address everything that's happened to her. So I don't know. You know, I wanted to talk today about, you know, ways you can send out an SOS. How can you let the authorities know that something is going on, or let someone know that something is going on? You know, they have this thing where the you can call and act like you're ordering a pizza to the pizza, you know, pizza shop, and, you know, you say certain things, or you call 911 acting like you're ordering pizza, and that kind of flags, you know, the person on the other end that you're in some level of, you know, trauma. You know, somebody's either abusing you or holding you, you know, past the time that you want to be held, in their kidnapping, pretty much. That's what that is. And so come on, give me some ideas. 347-285-7777. You know, let's talk about, you know, how it is that we can, you know, get this attention that we may need. And some people don't have any idea how they're going to get out of this trauma that they're in. You know, I often talk about my own abuse that I experienced very young in life, and, you know, I wasn't being held hostage physically, but definitely mentally. And, you know, back then, you didn't call it, like, abuse. You didn't call it, you know, domestic violence. I don't know what they were calling it, but you didn't call it that. And you didn't realize that you were in a domestic violence or domestic abuse, let's say, environment or relationship. That's the word I want to use. You don't think like that. You know, you're thinking that the person cares and the person loves you, and, you know, there's a lot of that. And this month, excuse me, I wasn't able to focus on the teen dating violence. You know, I always kind of talk about that in February, but, you know, in light of some of the other things that I had to take care of, I didn't get a chance. But, you know, please, please, let us know what you're thinking, okay? You know, it just might save someone's life, okay? I got two other stories, and then we're going to talk to our due time crew. Well, I think I'm going to do this one first. We're talking about our health, and, you know, this is one conversation that I'm always having with my kids, and I found it, and I really thought it was interesting. They're saying that, excuse me, hours after eating leftovers from a restaurant, a 19-year-old was admitted to the hospital with multiple organ failure and later had to have both his legs and all his fingers amputated. Now, let me say that one more time. Hours after eating leftovers from a restaurant, a 19-year-old was admitted to the hospital with multiple organ failure and later had to have both his legs and his fingers amputated. So we have this Massachusetts college student. He ate rice, chicken, and lo mein from a restaurant. After he ate, he felt abdominal pain, and his skin turned a shade of purple. While the teen was admitted to the hospital for shock, multiple organ failure, and rash, and they say his condition quickly declined. He started experiencing abnormal breathing, high blood pressure, and vomiting. And they say that, you know, he hadn't been eating anything, you know, like out of the way or whatever, just, you know, the normal stuff, like what we named. They say that after further tests, he was diagnosed with meningococcal purpura fulminans disease. And they say it causes stiff neck, nausea, respiratory collapse, shock, and organ failure. And it's a rare complication that causes you to go into septic shock, which is what the college student experienced. Now, this is why I'm talking about this today, because how many times have we eaten something that we brought home from the restaurant? And they're saying that over the course of his hospital stay, now I'm going to go back to that, but I wanted to throw that in there. They say over the course of the hospital stay, his condition worsened and he developed some other issues and the death of tissue and cells. And after that, he needed a pacemaker for 13 days to treat his cardiac dysfunction. So here's the deal. They say that we need to be warned against the dangers of improperly storing leftover rice, because rice and pasta contain a certain bacterium, and that bacteria produces a toxin when it's heated and left out too long. And they're quoting some other issue back in 2008 where a teenager died in his sleep after eating leftover pasta that wasn't refrigerated overnight. And this is a constant conversation that I'm having with my kids. Listen, stop leaving this food out, heating up this stuff, and you got to smell it. And think of 19 years old. 19. You know how you do in college. You grab that cold pizza and, you know, all of this stuff here that you do that you don't think anything of. So that's what happened with him. Let's go over this again. He ate rice, chicken, and lo mein from the restaurant. We don't know. We don't know what they're doing or how this food has been preserved or not, you know, prior to us eating. And that's what happened to him. I mean, multiple things happened. Organ failure, the amputation of his legs and fingers. You had to get a temporary pacemaker. Your body went into septic shock. This is crazy. All because we ate that rice, that chicken, and lo mein. Please, y'all. Please. Let's make sure we're eating properly. We're storing our food properly. And, you know, we're doing whatever we're supposed to do. Because we don't need to be reaching out to for this food. And then all of a sudden now, we end up in the hospital. All right. Okay, I got one last story before we go to our Due Time crew. So, listen to this voicemail greeting. What's up? It's your girl, Naya, and I'm back with another banking banger. Leave your number, yeah, and all that, yeah. Well, that was Zaniah Jones's outgoing voice message. Now, I'm sure all her friends, you know, you smile and laugh at, you know, what she said. Well, somebody wasn't laughing when they called this phone, and they got, what's up? It's your girl, Naya, and I'm back with another banking banger. Leave your number, yeah, and all that, yeah. Well, the message she picked up when she got home was, yes, Ms. Jones, I recommend if you apply for a job and you expect someone to call you, that you have a more appropriate response on your voicemail. So thank you for applying, and there's no need to give us a call back. Really, y'all? Really? Is this something that she should have lost a potential job over. I say, if they left that voice message on your voicemail, be happy that they didn't hire you. But that's just Stephanie. As a human resource administrator for 15 years and working in human resources for 20, yeah, they just did you a favor. But that's just Stephanie. Let me know what you think, 347-285-7777. Where's my dude Tom Crew? Where's my dude Tom Crew? Who am I grabbing first? Tamika was on first. Good morning, Tamika. Are you talking
good
to
morning,
the mute
button? How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you this morning?
I am doing A-okay.
All righty. We got some stuff to talk about, girl. We got some stuff to talk about. Well, what about this this woman who tried to set the man on fire, her roommate, who's 66 years old? What's the first thing that comes to your mind, that this is her second time trying to set him on fire?
I'm trying to figure out, like you said, if you tried it the first time, I'm already looking for places to stay.
Yeah.
I'm calling a friend. I'm calling a relative. You know, listen, you got a spot for me to hold up until I get, you know, something else?
Yes.
I'll grab whatever it is that I can get my hands on that moment. Wait till, you know, for the most part, especially when you're roommates, you know their schedule. Wait till you're at work and get a U-Haul truck and take whatever it is I can. If I have to sleep in a U-Haul truck a couple of days just so I can get away from you, you know, the first time, you know, the first sign of anything, you know, something as simple as I'm sleeping and I wake up and you standing over me, oh, my gosh, that's a sign for me to make moves and make them quick.
Yeah.
The second time? Oh, no, that's enough. That's enough.
Man, oh, man. You know, it's funny. My sister, she, you know, I used to rent, you know, my home out. And we used to live in here. And my sister used to always say, I ain't renting out to nobody, Stephanie, because I don't need, when you get mad, I wake up and you standing over me. So that's what made me think about that when you brought that up. You know, she's like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. And here you are, like you said, somebody standing over you for the second. No, no, the first time was enough. Well, needless to say, they're not on our side of the fence because, like you said, we would have already had the U-Haul. If we had to beg, borrow, and steal, we would have that U-Haul going, girl, smoking.
I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a U-Haul today.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to give you a choice. The little girl who gave the, you know what, no, because I want to ask this question. You know, she goes into the school and she gives the teacher a note and, you know, come to find out that the mother's being, you know, held without, you know, her consent, and later they find out that the little boy is dead. You know, what form of, what comes to your mind when you think of, I have to let somebody know on the sneak tip that I'm in danger? What comes to your head?
My concern is, how did we get here? Obviously, there had to have been some sign when you engaged in this relationship. And that's, we keep talking about red flags and things that go on and, you know, like, how did you get here to the point that you can't make any function and the only recourse that you could think of would be to send a note to your child? Now, we're talking about a child, you know. A lot of times, you hey, baby, give this to the teacher. Teacher, you know, the child loses the note or, you know, it was in my book bag and I didn't get it, you know. It was in there, you know. Children are not focusing, you know, and you put your life in jeopardy, you know, in jeopardy already, and the only thing that you could do is send a note. My heart goes out to you because, you know, there are many different ways that people find ways out. I'm glad that she got out. I'm so sorry about the, you know, losing her child in the way that she did. But I'm glad that she had enough thought, you know. But my thing is, it took you so long to get there. Like, did you, how many red flags did you ignore till you got to that point? And, you know, when we're talking about red flags, I tell people constantly, please pay attention. Eyes wide open, please.
Yeah, you know, a lot of times this stuff, Tamika, happens. It just, like, before you know it, you're there. You know, you don't realize that, especially something like this, you know, where he's holding her against her will and she can't go into the garage, which is where the freezer was and the baby's body was found. And something like this, I can guarantee you, is coming so subtly that you don't have a clue until you go to maybe, you know, step out and go to the grocery store or something like this, and he's like, oh, no, you can't go, I'll go. And, you know, you don't think nothing of it that time, and then you need to go to the post office. No, I'll go. And before you know it, you're here. And that's the scary part about it, because it's so subtle. But I need you to think, you know, and due time crew, I'm going to ask you the same question. So, you know, I need y'all to think of some things that, you know, you can, you know, do to let someone know you're in danger. You know, I've seen some things on movies and things like that, you know, that people have done. And does anything come to your mind, Tamika, as to how you could, you know, slyly, you know, secretly get the word out that something is wrong and you're being held?
In most cases, and I've even had it at my job, you can call almost any number, entity, you know, and if you're calling the wrong entity and you act like you said, you're calling a pizza place, you know, and or you're acting as though you're calling a pizza place, you dial 911, you a restaurant, hopefully the person that you're speaking to will pick up. You know, I've had it at my own job, which, you know, we're kind of somewhat of a crisis center in a venue, and the lady was talking kind of, she didn't really sound so good. First of all, when you listen to her, you kept saying it sounded like she had mental issues, and then she started talking, you know, kind of randomly, and then the person picked up and realized that she needed help, because that's the first thing that they said, do you need help? And she says, oh, yeah, I do. You know, and then they confirmed her address, so she didn't have to really talk. And then they asked, do you need police assistance? And she says, please, right away. So we were able to help her. So it's up to the person that's listening to be able to tune in. So, again, you know, you're putting your life in jeopardy and hoping that that one attempt will be able to assist you.
All righty. So there we go. We got a stamp on that. Make that, you know, phone call and say some things in there, get creative and say some things that might flag, you know, that person's attention to notice and acknowledge that something ain't right here. So we thank you for that, Tamika. All right. So what about this voicemail, the greeting that was met with, don't even bother to call back, we don't want you? Is that overreacting?
I don't think so, because what people don't realize is that when employers are looking for you, they're looking for all the information that they can gather as to what type of person that you are. Now, realize this is before they actually see you. You know, they're checking your Facebook page. If you have any type of social media, you know, you have to be careful what you post, you know, because if before they see you, this is what they get, you know. And I remember, you know, in the past, my voicemails were always, you know, kind of food for thought. And I've had some people dial the wrong number and call back. Oh, I dialed the wrong number, but I really love your voicemail. You know, it is important because it actually is a representation of you. And so when you leave something like that, it gives a person, you know, that particular viewpoint of you. And I'm sure you could be a beautiful person, but when you leave messages like that, be real careful because you never know who's listening.
All righty. All right. We got the first hit Tamika says, they did not overreact. Thank you for joining us, Tamika, and we'll be back to converse. Let's see. Let's talk to Brother Al. Good morning, Brother Al.
Good morning, good morning. How you doing? Jeremiah 29:11, for God said, I know the plan I have for you. Period. So sit back and let him do what he do. Oh, yeah. Good morning.
Good morning, Brother Al. Good morning, good morning, good morning. All right, we got to talk about this news. All right, so you've got the woman who tries to set her roommate on fire for the second time. What would have happened, Brother Al, after the first time?
Okay, first and foremost, as I'm listening to the story, right? They had something going on. That woman ain't trying to set them on fire for no reason. Now, what she's doing is wrong. There's something going on with them two, all right? Something going on with them two that ain't being mentioned, okay? She ain't trying to set that man on fire for no reason, okay? Something going down, and they ain't saying. But after the first time, okay, that's it. I see you like to play with fire, so I got to get in and get up out of here. So after the first time, I definitely would have been gone. But something going on with them two, Pastor, I promise you. Something going on.
You sound like Pastor Charlotte, who says always something up the sleeve. They got something going on.
Yeah, something going down.
You might be right, Brother Al. You might be right. You just might be right. You never know. You never know. All right. So we're trying to help the listeners today. You know, after this mom gives the elementary school student, you know, this note to pass to the teacher, and the young lady does, the little girl does. Now I agree with Tamika. You know, how often do we send messages and the messages never arrive, even if it's a note, you know, in the that we're talking about. So, you know, what's your thought, and what is a way that you came up or heard about that you thought was a good idea to, you know, flag that you're going through something and you can't get out?
I think that was very smart of her to send the message with the child. I'm going to tell you why. See, people underestimate kids. Kids are smart. Now, I don't know if it was a little girl or a little boy, but that child, that little girl knows something was wrong. She haven't seen her sibling. She knows something was wrong. She probably can't put her finger on it, but she knew something wrong. See, people underestimate children. That child knows something is wrong in that house. And when that mother said, give this note to your teacher, I promise you that's probably the first thing she did when she got in that class, because she knows something was wrong. Hey, I haven't seen my sibling. My mother's not acting right. We underestimate children. So I think that was a smart idea to send that note home to the school with the child. There's a few things, and I was to late to make a say, how do we get here and stuff like that? And you hit it right on the head, Pastor Steph. It's just fear. You're scared to death. Like, okay, you know something wrong with your other child. Now, if I do something or whatever, it going to happen to my other child. So there's a few things. If you're in a car and you're driving, you flash the police. If you flash the police, they will stop you. That's the thing that they put out there to, you know, hit your high beams real quick and flash the police. The police gonna stop you. And another thing is that it may be hard, but if you're in that situation, you have to act normal, like you're going along, like everything is fine. And so you're able to do things like, okay, he said, I'm going to go to grocery. I need to go to the grocery store and get some food. Oh, no, I go to the grocery store. When he leaves, that's your opportunity to make a call. Because obviously he's not letting her get in there to put anything in that freezer. So they have it too, where you could text. As every 911 have, where you could text them. You know what I'm saying? So there's some type of opportunity where he's asleep or you go into the bathroom and you can send out a quick text to 911, to your friend, whoever. But a lot of times when you so scared, when fear take over, you know, you don't think of those things. You just, and like you said, the time, next thing you know, time is gone. It's like, oh, shoot. But I think that was a smart thing what she did with the what the child was sending the note to school.
Okay, okay. Well, you know, you bring out a good point, you know, where the child could sense, you know, that things were not right, and which, and you don't know how the mom said, make sure you take, you give this to your teacher, which could have been another flag for the child to get some
right.
sense of urgency. So you're right. You're absolutely right. You know, we don't know, you know, what was on that child's mind and what she may have been sensing that really prompted her to follow out the mom's request. So you, good
right.
point.
And
good
you,
point
you,
for that.
And you know what else? You know what else with that, which we use at the school, you know, not for instance like that, but what we tell parents, if you need to send a note to the teacher, put it in their homework folder, because every day we take their homework folder and take out their homework. So even if the child,
okay.
we have children just forgot some little simple notes that mom sent them. When we took out the homework folder, and you're like, hey, Ashley, why you didn't give us this letter? Oh, I'm sorry. My mother put it in my folder. So we always tell parents, if you need something to get to that teacher, we look at that folder every day because we send them homework. Put it in the homework
okay.
folder.
All right. Brother Alice, full of suggestions this morning. Thank you so much for helping our listeners, you know, even if it's not them, but at least they can now have some information to pass on to someone who might be going through, you know, some danger. So thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here we go. Okay, how do you vote on the greeting on the phone, the outgoing greeting being addressed with don't bother to return? Don't bother to return our call, rather.
Oh, man, that's a straight judgment, but I believe it is important. When you're trying to do certain things, you have to be careful what you put on your answer machine. You know, you never know what that person think, or the person is judging you, you know, from, oh, okay, this person ghetto. We don't need that on our job. You know, so I don't think that they were overreacting. I do believe it's a lesson learned for everybody. If you got a crazy message on your machine, change it. You know, put a professional, because, again, you never know who's going to call you. I saw a young man who had a full football scholarship to college. And he went out with his friends, and they celebrating, and he drinking, and they smoking weed. He put all these pictures up, and the school called him and said, you know what, we just changed our mind. You're not the type of person we want representing our school. And they took away the scholarship. So you have to be careful on what you put out there. You know, first impression means a lot. So I don't think that they overreacted.
All righty, vote two. The due time crew is in sync, and they're saying, hey, you better watch that voice message. All right, Brother Al, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back to continue our conversation.
Okay.
Where is Pastor Charlene? Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning. How are you today and the crew and the listeners?
I'm doing well, thank you. I'm doing well. So glad to have you with us. How are you?
I am doing well today. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All righty. Come on, Pastor Charlene, give it up. What happens after the first time your roommate tries to set you on fire? Do you go back for seconds? And I'm going to put it just like that.
Absolutely not. You can't cook food twice. And I thought of when Brother Al said that something was going on, I said, yes, something is going on.
Wow.
And also for him to go back, you know, for the second time, That proved that some kind of way she had him to where that he wanted to stay again. See, if somebody tried to kill you the first time, you know how that saying goes, shame on me the first time, shame on you the second?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I'm glad that, you know, he finally got it together and ran out. That probably, the alcohol the second time was probably more than she whatever she did the first time.
Yeah.
And maybe
yeah.
that's what woke him up.
Yeah, yeah. Because not only did she pour the alcohol on him, she emptied the bottle throughout the house. So she was she had that lighter, and if she had did what she wanted to do, oh, that would have been it. That would have been it. That would have been it, because she was
yeah.
chasing him around the house with the lighter.
Yeah, that's crazy. Can you? I can't even imagine somebody chasing you with the light. Because she's saying to even herself, she's not going to have no place to live. Because once the fire gets started, everything is going.
Yep.
Around
absolutely.
The house.
Absolutely. Pastor Charlene, I got one thing to say. If somebody was chasing me around this house, they'd win. I can't move that fast. So they would have had me. They would, the whole house would have been up in smoke. But I tell you, chasing me around, listen, I've already said, I'm not running. I can't. I'm not killing myself. I'm not running. Go ahead and do what you do. If my prayers don't, you know, let's say for argument's sake, she went to strike the lighter and it didn't, you know, work, you know, that would be definitely prayed in advance. That's all I could say. Because chasing me, oh, she would have had me all up in smoke. Oh, no, no, that wouldn't have happened, Pastor Charlene. That would have been a mess.
But wait.
That would have been a mess.
But Pastor, that energy would have jumped in you, girl. Let me tell you, some things that we think we can't do, but when our heart is pumping fast, the feet go with it. You never know.
You
drop
haven't
and
seen
roll,
me stand
baby.
Up.
Drop and roll.
Listen, you haven't seen me stand up lately. That alone would have killed me. So maybe you're right. Maybe that adrenaline would have had me surging through this house, through the backyard, all that kind of stuff. But, girl, at first thought, when you talk about somebody chasing me, I would have been like, go ahead and burn. Just go ahead. Lord, you're going to have to do something with this lighter. Because that's what I would have said. I would say, Lord, do something with the lighter, because I wasn't trying to run. Pastor Sean was trying to run. But, you know, the more you and Brother Al talk about this thing, the more I'm thinking that maybe, just maybe, there was something going on. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Never know. Never know. All right. We're talking about, you know, ways that we can assist, you know, our listeners or the friends or family of our listeners to really send out some level of SOS secretly. And, you know, with the little girl taking the note to school and actually handing that note over to the teacher, does anything come to your mind as to how we can get this job done if we need to?
Well, I thought that was really smart of the mother, of the way that she did it, giving it to the daughter. But I thought of maybe she didn't put it in the book bag. I thought maybe that she might have pinned it to his clothes, onto her clothes, so this way she wouldn't lose it, like on the inside of your jacket. And she watched, you know, because he's watching her pattern, so she probably was watching his, and that's how she was able to get the note to the little girl. Because, you know, like you all say, you could put it in a book bag, they can forget or whatever, but when you take off your coat, what is this, Janie? What's this on your coat? You know what I mean? So they're aware that it could have been that. My first thought of who can you call would be somebody who knows you well, and they know that something's not right of how you're talking. You know,
okay.
Being able to know that, like you'll say, oh, girl, how you doing? And, you know, and then you'll say something like, yeah, the kids went to school today. You'd be like, what? That's not what I asked her. You know, and then you would say something else, and then you'd be like, oh, something wrong? And, yeah, girl, you know, everything is good. Johnny, he right here. You know, we were just watching TV. See, so you know that something's wrong in the conversation.
Okay, okay.
Another way of, like Brother Al said, when he goes out, there's an opportunity if he did not take your phone or try to get a neighbor, you know, attention in the window, you know. So you got to come be creative. Because when you're in it, you know, just like you stated, when you're in it, it creeps up on you so fast that you don't even know that life has changed. Because when he said, no, don't do it, you're thinking that's cute. Oh, he didn't want me to carry the groceries. He didn't want me to put the groceries away. Oh, he wanted to go to the store. And these are the things that you just think that he's being nice, but what he really is setting a trap, you know, of keeping you from being around people so you don't have that conversation. When you're in a store with him, he making sure you're not talking to nobody. That's another way. If you go to the grocery store or something, you can slide a note, you know, a piece of paper or something, like you drop your pocketbook and stuff fell out, slide it over, you know, in that way. Get somebody's attention that's watching you. You ever seen that commercial they had where the man and the little girl is on an elevator? And you don't know that she's being abducted. And then it shows the jacket of the man where that is saying that the little girl is being, you know, being taken away. So you got to be able to not only teach you, but the kids, too, of a sign of if something happened, this is what you should do. Because you can't always
absolutely.
Go to the cops.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I have seen on TV, Pastor Sean, where the woman was in the supermarket and she had written down help and the license plate of the car that they were in. And when the cashier got it, she was able to, you know, follow that up with a phone call to the authorities. So you're right. You know, when we're going out, all of these little things matter, you know, and let's you know, do what we need to do to get this attention drawn to us. So the final question of the month for you in regards to this young lady who left the voicemail on her, you know, the greeting on her voicemail, and she got denied the job. What do you think?
Absolutely. You can't just do anything. Nowadays, they check your Facebook, they check your Instagram, you know, all your social media stuff, they check in, they call your house, you never know when they're going to call you, and just say one of that job was for her to answer phone. Can you imagine what you going to say? What you going to say?
Okay,
so,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
No job.
Three for three. Three for three, everybody. Pastor Charlotte says no two. Wow. All right. Thank you for joining us, Pastor Charlotte. We'll be back. We'll be back. Where's
okay,
my girl, Shanti? Good morning, Shanti.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you over there?
I thank you.
Good, good, good. We're trying to get some feedback from you. We got the roommate. And with the one roommate attempts to set the other roommate on fire, Pastor Charlene and Brother Al say that if you went back for seconds, that's probably because there was something going on between the two of you. But it could be something else in your head. What do you think? What would you have done after the first time?
Got you locked up. I mean, you try to do that the first time, and then I'm still laying my head down around you? Nah. I don't understand the logic around that either. What, you could not be that desperate to live on your own. You know, so where it's like, oh, I don't want to go back to family, or I don't want to do... Somebody's trying to kill you, and you're still like, all right, so what's up with this rent for next month? There's no rent... Like, no.
Okay. All right, we're talking about the little girl who took the note to the school, you know, and gave it to the teacher. Are there any ways you can, you know, talk to the listeners and just help them with some type of SOS
where, you know, the abductor doesn't know that you're actually sending out a sign for help.
I mean, I think that's real strategic. I never heard of someone doing that. I'm pretty sure she's not the first one to do that. But yeah, or, you know, like maybe, you know, you, as a parent, you have to check the homework. You know, I know back in the day that that's what they had to do, you know, when I was in school. You know, the parents would check the homework, and sometimes they would have to sign a note. You know, if the teacher sent, like, something, a note home for the parent, and the parent would acknowledge it with a signature, maybe that's another way also. So, yeah, I think that was real strategic, because it's not, you know, if the other one was to see you writing in the notebook, it's not like, well, what are you doing? You know, because parents, well, you know what, let me backtrack a little bit, because now parents don't seem to check homework nowadays, because I've been hearing some things like, oh, my second grader is missing homework. That's your fault. They're seven. How are you missing homework at seven? You're supposed to be checking it. But, yeah, I think that was real strategic to do that. So now with the teachers checking classwork, checking homework, they're forced to kind of go through the students' belongings. So I think that's a great way to send out for help.
All righty. And last but not least, we got this this outgoing greeting on the voicemail. And, you know, you got a voice message that said, don't even worry about it. We good. So what do you think? Do you think that they overreacted?
No, I mean, you have to be mindful now. You know, now they check everything to make sure you're a good fit for them. So you can't do what you want to do anymore. Yeah, it's your phone, and, you know, in your head, I should be able to leave what I want and say what I want. Well, you did, and now here's the result. So.
Wow. Tough group. You know, just for the record, and I'm not saying that this would change your mind, but just for the record, she was applying for a supermarket job. She was not going to be, I know one of you said, you know, maybe she would be answering the phone, so she was not answering the phone. But nonetheless, you know, I'm the only one on this side of the fence that said I thought that was a little extreme, but we'll talk about that later in my closing. All righty. Thank you so much for joining us, Shantice. We got our little conversation going. And I came across something, and it says the signs of respect in a relationship. You know, what are some of the things that, you know, how do you clear up, you know, misunderstandings and things that people do that would generally sever ties in a relationship, you know, but there should be some simple rules that apply. And I'm going to throw these rules out here, and you let me know what you think. All right, we're going to start with Tamika. You know, the rules should be, if you have a problem with me, come to me privately. What do you think?
That's definitely an issue that people haven't come to terms with. You know, you tell your best friend, you tell your family members, you know, whatever, and the last person in the world, you know, we're out somewhere and everybody's looking at me strange and I can't even figure out why, because the last person in the world that you told is the person that you're having the issue with. You know, it just makes common sense. If you're having an issue with me, then come to me specifically so we can address it. I can find out what it is that's causing you an issue, why it's causing you an issue, and then progressively work on trying to make sure that, you know, we get to a point where it's not bothering you, or that I either transition or we agree to disagree.
All righty. Come on, Brother Al, you know, what's your thought? If you have a problem with me, come to me privately.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Come and talk to me. I'm a private person anyway, so come and talk to me private. Don't get on the Due Time Show with Pastor Steph and tell the world and all these countries that I do come. You don't do that. You don't do that. You come to me, and we can sit down and we can talk about this thing.
All right.
Yes.
All right. I'm going to switch it up a little bit, Pastor Charlene. If I have a problem with you, I will come to you privately. That's how we're getting rid of all of these dysfunctions in the relationship. Let's straighten this out. If I have a problem with you, I'm coming to you privately.
Absolutely. I'm coming to you, and I'm going to tell you whatever it is that is bothering me that you have done, said, or whatever. Let's let it be just a one-on-one. We don't need everybody to know. Let's fix it. So don't go no further.
All righty. Shanti, so I'm going to throw the same thing out to you. That's the opposite. You know, if I have a problem with you, I'm coming to you privately.
Yes, I'm coming to you privately because you're the one I have the issue with. I'm not going to generate no audience because the audience is not going to help me resolve this. So this is between us. I'm going to come to you.
All right. I like this one. If someone has a problem with me and comes to you, send them to me and I'll do the same thing for you. Come on, Brother Al.
Okay, so you're saying if this, I'm making sure I got it right now. So if this person have a problem with me, they went to somebody else, and that person
yes.
told them to send that person to me. Okay, yeah. And that stops it from spreading. You know, hey, listen, you got a problem with your sister, go talk to your sister. You know what I'm saying? We think differently. So you go and talk to your sister and straighten that out. So I would say yeah.
Okay. Pastor Charlene, I'm going to preface this here with something that I've heard before. And, you know, if someone consists, if someone has a problem with me and comes to you, send them to me. And the person said, no, I didn't send them to you because they needed somebody to talk to. How do you respond to that? Because we're trying to fix these things. We're not trying to make a mess.
Okay. So the problem is me, and I'm coming to you. Am I right?
No.
But you sending me to
No.
Okay.
If someone has a problem with me so Pastor Charlene is saying to Shanti, if somebody got a problem with me and they come to you, please send them back to me, and I'll do the same thing for you. There have been people who stand the ground and say, you know what? I know I could have sent them to you, but they needed somebody to talk to, so I was just there for them. How do you let them know that this is not a good idea?
No, you go to the person that has the problem. You have the problem with. So you don't go to somebody else because all you're doing is adding a third person in. Now they have an opinion. So now that's going to even separate it even more. Go to the person that you have the issue with.
Okay. Shanti, how do you address that person that says, you know, hey, I know I should send them to you, but they needed somebody to talk to. So that's why I got involved and let them talk to me and did not send them to you.
Well, now you're going to need somebody to talk to because now we got a problem. You just inserted yourself into in the problem circle. So I hope now you got somebody to talk to because now we about to go at it. Don't insert yourself.
Okay. Tamika, how are we addressing this issue?
How are you showing your allegiance or friendship to me when someone is talking about me and you're humoring it? You know, they needed somebody to talk to. But wait a minute, they're talking about me, and you and I are supposed to be, you know, close. How is that? How are you helping us our friendship when you engage in that relationship or that conversation with the other individual. It makes me kind of question, you know, who you are to me.
All right. I like that one. This kind of goes along with the next thing that says, if someone consistently will not come, you know, will not go to that person, I'm going to say, hey, let's go see this person together. I'm up to Tamika. Kind of goes with what you just got finished saying.
Yeah. That nips the whole thing in the bud. You know, if I have, for whatever reason, this person obviously has an issue with me. You and I, let's go together, as opposed to you talking behind my back, since you see that there's an issue and you might be trying to help. Your best bet is to bring us together. Let's all have a little roundhouse here. And it doesn't mean that, you know, we're gonna have a knockout drag out, but it alleviates my not really sure if I could trust you now, because you decided to have that moment. Now, when you say you, me, and that person are going to come together, it alleviates that feeling in the back of my mind, whether it says, I don't know if I should really trust you now.
Okay. Shantice, you know, now they're saying, you know, hey, let's go to the person together. Does that help?
Talking.
Well, what you supposed
much,
to
I
do?
I mean, after a while, because it's like, okay, you know, well, if, you know, if this is someone who, for whatever reason, okay, you know, Shantice, coming to talk to you because, you know, I may not know how to approach this person, you know, so, and then I'm like, all right, you know what, let's go, you know, I'll be there to kind of help to talk. Very rarely does that happen, you know, where someone is genuinely saying, you know, I feel like I need to say something or I want to say something to this person, but either the person is unapproachable or I just don't know how to. But 9 times out of 10, it's just this whole roundabout thing, because it's just so much easier for people to talk about the person instead of confront the person. And that's what you'll probably get from me. Well, listen, I don't want to hear how you feel before. I want to hear what happens after you confront them. So either I'm going to just blow this whole thing up, or you just going to go and talk to them, and then you just come back and let me know how it went.
So unless
the first man. Go ahead.
Okay, so you're saying that you would not take them to the person?
No, not unless it's, you know, they're really coming out of, like, you know, I don't know how to approach this person because of X, Y, and Z. You know, it's like, okay, you know what? Well, do you need, because that has happened before. You know, it's like, okay, I may need somebody there. You know, some people, you can't talk just one-on-one because you don't know how the conversation going to go. They're going to twist your words, and this ain't what I said, and that is what, you know. But if it's just because you just straight up messy from the beginning, no, I don't want no parts.
Oh, okay, all right. That sounds a little different than before. Okay, thank you for clarifying that for me. Brother Al.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's, I hate to be in the middle of stuff, but, you know, if this person, if they both, you know, good friends, or even if I just know one, I would try to help. And I would make sure if the other person, you know, is okay with me maybe being a mediator. But if not, then you know what? Okay, you know what? Let's go. We get there. I can help y'all start the conversation. Then I'm leaving. Okay, it's on y'all. Y'all go ahead and take care of that. Because, again, like you said, some people might not be approachable. This is why the person not coming to you, because as soon as I say something, you yell and scream. So that person may not be approachable and may need a little help on getting started.
Okay. Pastor Charlene, what are we talking about here? How do we handle this?
Well,
we're going, taking them to the person? I'm sorry.
Yes. No, I'm sorry.
Yes, I was just going to say it comes with the job, right? So we bring everybody in together, and a lot of times what happens is because the other person don't hear, they only in their feelings and they're not hearing. So that gives you a chance for you to be the mediator, and where that they're able to have that conversation so they have a better understanding, because sometimes it takes that third person to be able to explain to each one of them what they are not hearing. So, yes, you take them and bring them all together.
Okay. Now, this one is a little deep, so you got to listen. It says, be careful of how you interpret, okay, during times that it's unclear. Don't feel pressured to try to interpret my feelings. Send the person to me for interpretation. Shantice.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I had it into the end.
Okay.
One more time.
It's okay, because I know this one was a little complicated. Be careful of how you interpret me. You know, you may not be clear, so don't feel pressured to try to interpret for me or my feelings or my thoughts. You know, just send the person to me for interpretation.
Okay. Yes, I went through a scenario like that a few months ago, but it was kind of like the with the other person. Someone interpreted what someone else was feeling and saying, and then brought it to me, and also tried to interpret my feelings. So it's just like, listen, you don't understand plight, and I'm not mad that you don't understand how I'm feeling. And because you don't understand, again, do not insert yourself. Because in doing so, you're going to help this to grow legs, because now with you trying to understand, you are going to insert your feelings. And it's going to throw everything out of whack. So don't try to understand. Only thing you have to understand is that me and another person need to talk. That's the only thing you need to understand. So just make that happen. Don't try to put yourself in it.
Okay. Tamika, I want to put it in a different way. I want to put it in a different way. Something Shanti said, okay, about the interpreting. But I lost my thought because I couldn't write. No, so I'm going to leave it as it is.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. It doesn't make sense for you to try and gauge what it was that I was thinking and how I was feeling, because you're not me. You know, as close as you may think that you are, you can't tell why I did or what was the reason why I said what I said or did what I did. Let me be able to be clear to say what it was that I did and why I did it. Don't speak for me. You know, I have a mouth for a reason. I don't need you as a mouthpiece, because what could happen is that could backfire and it ends up on you as opposed to the person that it's actually targeted for. So it's better that you stay out of it so that you don't cause any more extra havoc.
Okay. Brother Al, we're talking about interpreting, you know, what the individual meant to say and how they were feeling. And don't do that. Let me put it like that. Please stay out of that. What's your thought?
Exactly. Don't do that. That's called assuming. So you're assuming on what I feel, what I think, you know, and you haven't talked to me. So now you done started a whole nother thing because, well, I thought you were mad. Well, I thought you would say this if I said that. So now it's been gone out like a wildfire now. So definitely don't do that. Come to me and ask me. Hear from my mouth saying how I feel or what I thought.
Okay, okay. Pastor Charlene, you know you need to go and relay something to someone. Do you relay and try to interpret their feelings and their thoughts?
No, I think that you need to go because people will assume that you are mad, and you might not be mad. The way that you might approach it, they might, you know, assume that it's a certain way. So you go to the person and you talk to them. And even if they are mad, you know, I can't validate your feelings. You know, your feelings is your feelings. My feelings is my feelings, you know. And sometimes we get caught up into, well, I don't know what you're mad about that for. That's nothing, you know, but it's something to that person at that time, you know. So you have to respect each other's feelings and be able to go and talk to them. Because a lot of times that's where we get caught up of being mad at people and don't speak, even in our families, that because you never had that conversation. Somebody else said, and people start adding on and talking in your ear. So go to the person and be able to tell them exactly how you feel. And don't hold back of your feelings. That's another thing, too, because when you hold back, then they don't really understand. This is how you made me feel. That's what you got to say. This is how I feel, you know, and that way that they have a better understanding about you and you have a better understanding about them.
Okay, okay. I like this one. Don't read letters, notes, or mail. Mind your business. That's how we're going to stop this misunderstanding. Tamika, let's talk about that one.
You know how many different dynamics have gone down the crapper just for something as simple as that? You want to know something about me, whether it's family members, whether it's a spouse, whether it's, you know, someone that I work with. If you need to know something about me, I'll either tell you what you need to know or I will tell you to mind your business. Either way, don't go through my mail.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay. Brother Al, we're talking about don't read notes. That's not for you. Don't read no letters. That's not for you. And don't read no mail. And that's how we stop all these misunderstandings.
Yes, indeed. The only time you should read a note if I'm writing it to you. Don't go through my mail. That's invasion of privacy. I'm going to have you arrested. And that's going to solve all the issues. It's like Lady Tamika said, if you need to know something, you come to me. I'll tell you. You know, we discussed that. We got a good relationship. Come talk to me. We'll talk. Because you can read something and take it the wrong way, and it's not what you think it was. Now we got another issue.
All righty. Pastor Charlene, don't read no letters that are not addressed to you.
Well, if I find out that's what you're doing, you're going to find something that you're going to read that you're going to wish you ain't look at, because I'm going to set you up.
Look at the pastor talking. Look at the pastor. Look at the pastor talking. I'm going to set you up. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because it's going to make you mad and you're going to come and question me. And now you have told on yourself. Now I can say you read something that you ain't had no business reading. Yes, she'll set you up. She will. She'll set you up. So don't read my stuff. Ask me. You want to know something about me? I'm an open book. So ask me. I'll tell you.
All righty. Shatish, what are we talking about here? Don't read any letters, no notes. Stay away from the mail, and that's how we're going to solve a whole lot of this misunderstanding.
You bust open my mail. I hope you're ready to bust open that wallet to pay the bills that you're getting ready to read. And it's don't go through my stuff. You go through my stuff, you just open in a whole other part of this relationship. I'm going through the stuff, so just stay out of it.
Okay, okay. Well, we got a few more minutes. And again, you know, this is Therapeutic Thursday, where we're advising people of quite a bit of stuff here. You know, we're helping people get out of some problems. What would be the one thing we did not mention, Tamika, that you know works and keeps down the misunderstandings? Don't do what? Talking to the mute button over there?
No, I was trying to think. Can you come back to me? I'm sorry.
All righty. Come on, Brother Al. You always fueled with stuff. You know, give us that one thing that we need to really stay away from if we really want to stop the misunderstandings.
Okay. You let Lady Tamika off the hook. That's unfair. Make her answer it now. I would say stay away from accusing. You know, you don't know what's happened, but you're just accusing me of doing it. You ain't asked me. You ain't talked to me. You just straight up accused me. Yeah, you did this. I'm like, how you know I did that? Did you ask me? Did you ask me, did I say that? Do you have any proof that I did or say that? So I would say stay away from accusing the person until you got full facts.
Okay, okay. Good stuff, good stuff. Come on, Pastor Charlene. What's one of the things that you know will keep problems down if you just stay away from?
I think they call it ear hustling, listening to the phone call. Is that what they call it, right?
They sure. I don't know if they still call it that, but they did call it that at one point. Yes.
Okay. So, listening on the phone, assuming who I'm talking to, and trying to put pieces together, that is a big no-no, because what you should do is either ask whom you're talking to or mind your business.
Or what? I'm sorry, I hear that last piece.
Mind your business. Until I tell you about the phone call. But that gets a lot of people, because people assume who you might be talking to and really don't know.
All righty. All right. Stop assuming and stop the ear hustling. What you got, Shanti? What's going to stop those misunderstandings?
Stop internalizing and open up. Speak. You know, because by you keeping stuff in, you're creating scenarios and thoughts and everything in your own head. Instead of just coming to me and talk, and either I can correct or confirm some stuff. So stop internalizing things.
All righty. Good stuff. Good stuff. All righty, Tamika, what you got?
I was going to say stop being so sensitive. You know, sometimes you think a certain thing transpired after oh, you did such and such. Oh, my feelings are so, you hurt me. And I'm like, wait a minute. You didn't even come to me to find out what it was I did, why it was I did. You're one of the most sensitive people on the face of this earth. As opposed to coming to me, you sat there and let that emotion fester, and now it's not just a sore, it's oozing out, and now you won't even look at me because of something that you internalized based off of what you thought you perceived, and it wasn't even that.
Wow. Good stuff. All right, one more quick round. What has gotten you in trouble and caused a misunderstanding, either in your former life or your present life? Don't tell me you ain't never did it before. What happened to you, Brother Al, and that misunderstanding was all your fault?
I never did it before. Not just messages. I would say being stubborn. Just straight up being stubborn. Okay, I I guess that could come with assuming something being stubborn. I ain't got nothing to say to you. I'm mad. I turn my back. Don't talk to me. So I would say being stubborn because of assuming got me in trouble.
Okay. But what you got, Pastor Charlene, what way did you cause a misunderstanding?
I assumed that you lied and said that was a family member, and it ended up that it really was because she was all up in your face, and I thought that, are y'all kissing cousins?
Okay, so let me make sure I understand what you're saying correctly. So she was all up in his face, and you assumed that what?
It was not a family member.
Oh, okay.
Right? I hit the ceiling, but what was happening was that she was trying to see my reaction. So she got what she was looking for, but come to find out, they were related. They was just trying to push me to that point.
Wow. Ooh, my goodness. All righty. Come on, Shantice. What you got? How did you start some big old misunderstanding?
My snooping. I was going through phones. I was going through mail. I was going through computers. I was going through clothes. I was going through everything. A whole lot. I understood everything I found, but it still caused a lot of misunderstanding. Don't snoop.
Wow. All right, come on, Tamika, what you got?
I misinterpreted body language and tone. So, you know, I ask you something and your reaction is, and I thought that you were angry because I asked you a question, and like, okay, so now, you know, I'm flying off the handle because I'm thinking that the sigh was in response to me, but the sigh was actually the person trying to detach from what they were going through to answer my question. I flew off the handle because I was just like, oh, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, that person was attacked. So now their speech, you know, their tone might not be, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's more, you know, it's more animated now. So now there's an argument based on simply, I misunderstood your body language or your, you know, your response. Instead of me asking, well, was that in response to me? I just flew off the handle.
Oh, y'all got some good stuff this morning. Thank you so much for your contribution in today's, you know, conversation. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Oh, yeah, you
well,
too.
Everyone have a good one.
Yeah. You all have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. All righty. Let's set these microphones down. Woo! All right, let's get this benediction. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and made us a kingdom, priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And that's Revelation 1, 5, and 6. You know, there's a lot to be said for how we can stop misunderstandings. And, you know, the Bible addresses this issue. And, you know, it tells us, you know, if you have something that you need to say or a problem or a thought, you need to take that to the individual. So that was one of the suggestions. So it's paralleling, you know, with the Bible. They say if you don't get anywhere, then you take one other person. So that's been, you know, kind of addressed here as well. And they say that, you know, if you can't get it done even on that level, you need to take it to the church and put it before the church. And if that don't work, then you treat them as a heathen and infidel based on what version you're reading. But in other words, they just can't be dealt with. You know, if you're going through all of those stages, and I have to honestly tell you that this is happening now with people who are supposed to be within the family of Christ. And I think that's the scariest thing here, because when you can't talk to an individual, when you can't get through to somebody, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You know, you have to, you know, we always talk about prayer here on this due time, and prayer is the key, you know, and understand that prayer may need to continue. You know, it can't be just no one prayer. We don't know how deeply rooted these issues are. You know, remember, these people could be carrying these issues from childhood. What are you going to do with that? You know, they have really held on to things, and, you know, they don't try to understand, and they don't want to understand. And this is why the Bible says, you know, take them through those stages, because you never know at what point, you know, you will finally reach that individual. But if you start off that conversation with prayer, you know, you'll find that, you know, most times somewhere in that journey, there's a breakdown of this individual. Are there times where no matter how hard you work, it just don't happen? Absolutely. And the Bible tells you how to dismiss yourself from that individual. You know, there's a lot of conversation going on around me about, you know, people being dismissed and, you know, how we handle these difficult problems. Well, did I say that right? How these difficult issues, let's put it that way. And, you know, a lot of times we need God's guidance as to how to get this done. Because when we don't see God, then we are definitely setting ourselves up for failure. You know, I always tell people, even in those three stages, go before the Lord first. Before you approach the person, go before the Lord. Because we're talking about interpretation here today. A lot of times some of the things that you say can be misinterpreted. And I agree 100% with Shantice. Unfortunately, you are at a disadvantage with some people, even from the very beginning. You can't even afford to speak to them directly. By the time they finish accusing you of doing this and doing that and not saying this and not saying that, she and I were just on a phone call a couple of weeks ago. And, the initial talking, and the person said, well, you know, I can't think of the terminology, but it was like, you keep on dragging me. And I'm like, are you serious? I'm dragging you? And I was so glad that the Spirit of the Lord had me make sure Shantice was on, because as a neutral person, she was able to help that person understand, no, y'all just kept cutting her off. You just kept cutting her off. So, you know, this issue has many legs to it. And if you keep cutting her off, then you're not going to get, you know, exactly what you would like to get. And it will seem like it's dragging you. But even with that, there was no dragging of the person. I should have been dragging the person, to be honest with you, and I wasn't. So unfortunately, even in the stages that God has set out in his word, we can't even start off one-to-one, because that person may not be emotionally ready. They may not be mature enough for that conversation, and you'll be at a major disadvantage approaching them one-to-one, because it will never ever be be interpreted right, and you'll always look like the bad guy. You know, but when you take that next person, before you talk to that person, make sure you pray. Pray that they understand exactly what you're talking about. Praying that you can relay properly, you know, again, because out of frustration, you may relay something differently. And what you got at that point? So there's prayer time that needs to take place right in between that and at the start of even that level. Well, when you're going before the church, you definitely want to go before the church with prayer. Bring that situation to the Lord first, because I have seen, oh my goodness, I have seen even taking it to the church go severely wrong, to the point where the person was so embarrassed and so ashamed they never returned to church. Now, they were warned. They were warned. You know, this may not render the results that you want to have. You sure you don't want to go back to step one? No, 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 no. They refused to take that advice. And lo and behold, it became an ultimate mess. And the person wasn't being upfront and honest. And, you know, some of the things included, you know, someone in the church. So, you know, even when you go with God's prescription, if you don't take yourself and all the invited parties before the Lord, it may not work out to your benefit. And the first thing you're going to want to do is blame the Word of God. Well, the Bible said, and I did it that way. No, there's a lot of components to approaching someone. So the Dutime crew did a really, really good job helping you understand exactly what it is that needs to be done, you know, period, to stop the misunderstandings. And misunderstandings are tearing families and relationships apart, because nobody's taking the proper time to go ask questions. Marriages are being torn apart. Friendships torn apart because of this misunderstanding. And here's the best part about it. Misunderstandings can always be addressed, eliminated, and dissected. At the end of the day, the point I'm trying to make is, as long as it was a misunderstanding, you could come back to that. You can come back from that, excuse me. You know, people like to say, oh, no, you know, I that can't be fixed. No, it can be fixed. Just continue to pray for your heart, pray for the other person's or the other people's hearts, that, you know, you can definitely, you know, go to God about it and ask him for both of you. So let's get that done. We don't need any misunderstandings, because let me tell you something. We don't know. They said even the righteous shall scarcely make in to the kingdom. Do you really want something that'll keep you from entering the kingdom over a misunderstanding? Nah, I don't think so. I mean, it's bigger than that, but misunderstandings can fester into a lot of problems. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off. And I want to thank my Due Time crew for coming through big time for me today and for you today. Thank you for listening and joining us and just helping us hold down the mornings. Until tomorrow, where it's Freestyle Friday and we get to do whatever we want to do. God spares our life. Don't forget, accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. I love you.
Thank you.